This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
D&M Leasing Studios, live from Radio Row in New Orleans. You're rolling with the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having an outstanding day. We're live on Radio Row, day two. It is brought to you by our friends at Stella Artois and the Low T Center. And we are standing by for Michael Brocker, so expect a rather large human being to be walking this way at some point in this segment. Before we get there, let's have some NFL news of the day with your guy, Zach Wolchek.
Let's do it. The expert predictions are in for the Super Bowl, and this is just for the worldwide leader, ESPN. They polled everybody on staff. The votes, 41 predicting the Chiefs get the Lombardi, the three-peat. 26 people predicting an Eagles victory. All right, so pretty big favor there for the Chiefs.
41-26 Chiefs?
41-26 Chiefs.
That's lower than I thought it'd be.
Yep, they've got the advantage. You thought it'd be more Chiefs have, like, what were we thinking, like 50?
Yeah, like 50-17.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's not a lot of Eagles people in the media. I don't know how many of those folks are from Philadelphia or are close to them. But yeah, maybe even higher than that. Maybe like 55-12 is what I would have guessed.
38-31 Chiefs winning the game was the most predicted score. So we'll have to see. Hey, do these ESPN personalities know what the hell they're talking about? My vote is nobody knows what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, predictions are tough, man. I mean,
you never know.
Played this game 10 times, I think one team would only win it at most seven.
I think the Eagles are definitely the better football team. The Chiefs just, I think, have the better head coach, the better quarterback, and maybe the best coordinator in the game with Steve Spagnuolo. And ultimately, that's going to be the difference maker. And for everything that's going on with the Eagles defensively, like Jalen Carter is the next big thing. But Chris Jones is still the best defensive player in the game, in my opinion, with what he's been able to do in fourth quarters. And Chris Jones, you'd think, hey, when they ask him, who's your biggest competition in the AFC, they've beaten the Bills 4 years in a row. Would he go with Buffalo? Instead, he's still going with Joe Burrow and the Bengals, as Chris Jones was asked this at media opening night. Let's go to Josh Jacobs, shall we?
Wait a minute.
Josh,
you probably threw something to me, didn't you?
I did, but don't worry about it.
Oh, who'd you throw, buddy? I probably have it over here.
It was Chris Jones. It was Chris Jones talking about who's their biggest competition in the AFC.
I'm going to say Cincinnati Bengals. They're always at the cusp. Unfortunately, injuries have played a huge part in their lack of success. I have so much respect for the Cincinnati Bengals. And also, you got to look at Josh Allen. Josh Allen's playing some of the best ball he's ever played. Lamar Jackson, I mean, up for MVP again. I mean, we got so many good teams, man. It's hard to say. I eventually think the Ravens are getting there. I eventually think Cincinnati to get there. They showed they can get there. And the Bills are hungry.
The Bills are ugly. Josh Allen's played some of the best ball he's ever played, and they still can't beat us. No respect for Buffalo.
This might be shots fired at Buffalo a little bit. Like I don't want to give you the credit of being our number one rival. We'll go with this team that didn't even make the playoffs. You know, I think Chris Jones is a huge key in this game, though. Obviously a great pass rusher. How effective can he be disrupting plays in the backfield against the run game? Because I think Philadelphia's path to victory has to be trying to get Saquon the ball 30 times. You know, and, you know, Chris Jones is a guy, obviously, that if you're ahead and you're in the passing game, he is likely going to wreck your stuff in the fourth quarter. Can they play a game that doesn't require that? All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. The Warriors have officially backed out of trying to trade for Kevin Durant. They reportedly do not want to bring in a star that does not want to be there. That is Chris Haynes with that report. So that just contributes a little bit further as we track the story. KD not going to the Warriors. Brian Windhorst saying, look for him to stay with Phoenix or go to Miami. So we're looking for maybe something else to drop on that. Definitely the trade deadline tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Is joining us now a proper LSU man. Brian, I'm sure you're proud of him.
Go Tigers.
Seems like just yesterday we were talking about if the Cowboys should take him, but they did not in that draft. Did they trade up that year and take
Mo Claiborne? Yeah.
Yes.
And then you went in the slot where the Cowboys were picking.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to be a Cowboy that draft. Mm-hmm. I really thought you were their top target.
That's crazy. I didn't know I was anybody's target, to be honest with you. But, I mean, the fact that, you know, the whole switcheroo happened, they took – because I roomed with Mo Claiborne at LSU.
Right.
So I couldn't be mad. Like, Dallas traded up and got him. I was like – I was happy for him, you know. But, you know, after that, I was like, all right, where am I going, you know? So, you know, I didn't – LSU – I mean, not LSU. St. Louis drafts me, so – everything happens for a reason.
That's the voice of Michael Brockers here on The Fan.
Yeah,
sorry,
Michael,
Brian.
It's funny, with the pre-draft, you had no really, I mean, you know, sometimes at the combine, guys kind of get a feeling, that, or visits, those 30 visits, you never had a feeling that, like, Dallas or anybody was interested, or you're just kind of going through, hey, whatever happens, happens.
Whatever happens, happens, man. Yeah. Like, I'm a believer, so I just knew if I did the right things, you know, everything would happen, you know, for my good, you know. Mm-hmm. So for me, I went through every – it was a little hectic going through the interviews because everybody was like, oh, you're so young, you're this, you're that. You know, I think I was a redshirt sophomore when I left, so I only did 3 years and I was gone. So a lot of people wanted to see about my maturity. So I think I wanted to show a lot of people that I was mature and, you know, so I handled everything really vaguely. I didn't want to, you know, tip the scale in any kind of way. I wanted to be, you know, likable for everybody.
Michael, you have a great radio voice.
Oh, thank you.
What are you getting into here post-playing career? Any podcasting or broadcasting?
Yes, sir. I do have my own podcast. It's called The Broadcast.
Cool.
You know, playing on the names.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got The Broadcast. Have my own brand, The Brock brand. So just doing a lot of things, you know, betting on myself, working for myself.
Great 11-year career.
Thank you.
And, you know, in this game, you had a fantastic game. Didn't you have, like, seven tackles and you hold Tom Brady to 13 points?
Yep. Right.
I mean, how do you guys reflect on that? A hell of a job by the defense, but the team, you know, came up just short.
Man, I mean, that's why you play this game, man. That's why you can't hope that, you know, we have the best athletes, we have the best team, we're going to win a game. That's why it's any given Sunday. You have to be able to execute on Sunday to win a game. So, for me, I just, you know, I appreciate just getting there, you know, because there's guys older than me that have been in this game that never even got to a playoff.
Yeah.
So, for me to say I got to the big game, played phenomenal in a game, just didn't come up, you know, on the winning side, I mean, I did everything I could. I did the best I could that year. And I think every guy, everybody did that year.
Your path to the Super Bowl, you actually played the Cowboys in the divisional round.
Oh, I was so ready for that.
Oh, okay. So what are your memories from that game? Because it was a close one. One-score game. You know, Dak hits Michael Gallup a big play late. They end up scoring. The Amari Cooper early touchdown. Zeke was humming, still in his prime then. I mean, that was a Cowboys team. We were thinking, okay, maybe they had the opportunity to do it.
Don't we think that every year, though?
I don't know if we think that anymore, Brian. Michael, I don't know.
But no, I think leading into that game, you know, at that time, Dallas's O-line was really stout, you know, and that was a challenge. Hey, are they going to run the ball? Can they run the ball? And I think we were up for that challenge. Like, no, y'all not running the ball on us, because we know if they can run the ball, then their play action game helps them a lot. So We knew if we stopped the run, they were going to be one-dimensional, and they can't beat us one-dimensional.
Zach.
No, you're good.
When you say you guys were ready for that game, you were mm-hmm. fired up. Is that because mm-hmm. it was against the Cowboys mm-hmm. or it was the playoffs? Or we all went into that.
I think it was because it was the Cowboys. I don't know what happened prior. Maybe we played a game and we lost to them, you know, before that. I forgot. But, you know, I know we were humming for that game. Or maybe we lost the year earlier mm-hmm. in the wild card round to Atlanta.
Yes.
And I think that we were fired up off of that. Yeah, we wanted to be, you know, go to the Super Bowl.
It's Michael Brockers here with you on The Fan.
You mentioned the running game, mm-hmm. and that's something we talk about a lot. I think getting a defensive lineman's perspective, mm-hmm. the running back resurgence is kind of coming back, and we're mm-hmm. having the conversation about, like, Ashton Jeanty in the draft. Mm-hmm. Should the Cowboys maybe take him?
Mm-hmm.
What's your defensive mentality for that? Is it really all about the offensive line, or do you notice a difference when you're playing against a Barkley, a Derrick Henry, mm-hmm. compared to, say, and Isaiah Pacheco,
yeah,
who was a seventh-round guy.
I mean, when you got a special guy back there, he's going to be special. I played against AP, you know, so AP put 297 on us. So, you know, I've seen somebody phenomenal. Just you can't do anything about it. He's going to get his numbers. I think as a team, we went into it like knowing, hey, corners have to set the edges. If the corners set the edges, they can't run outside. They can't get away from my D-line. Make funnel them inside so they can't get away. And I think that was the game plan.
Who was the, when you think about the toughest lineman you ever had to go up against, mm-hmm. who comes to mind for you?
Man, I played, so when I first got drafted, I think the big conception was St. Louis needs a D-line to match up with the 49ers offensive line.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They had a offensive line full of first rounders. I think they had Glenn Davis, I think was his name, and Mike Iupati, Joe Staley, a bunch of guys on that O-line. And I think going against Mike Iupati and just hearing his history and his lineage mm-hmm. of like how many people he dominated, I was like, oh man, this is gonna be a long day.
Were you a trash talking kind of guy?
Not really, bro. Trash talking takes a lot of energy off you. But, yeah. I mean, I was a retaliation kind of guy.
Okay.
So if I felt you do, like, something, you know, kind of fucked up to me in a game, I would try to get you back throughout the game. So, yeah, that was me.
What about quarterbacks? Your quarterbacks like to talk ass a little bit?
No, not much. I mean, we all know Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers will talk. I mean, he was one that could be able to talk shit to you and still get his game, his play, you know? Most quarterbacks can't do that. You know, you got the Toms, things like that, who have control. I think everybody thinks he's arrogant, which he is a little, but A-Rod, you know, A-Rod will do, he'll wink at you or something, you know, get you off sides, he'll wink at you. You know, it's like, fuck.
Okay, it's Michael Brockers here with you on The Fan. I do have to step in there because you're keeping our producer on our toes.
Okay.
We're on traditional radio.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
It's hard now.
I'm sorry.
There's a gray area because, like, McAfee's cussing all the time.
All the time.
And the podcasts are cussing all the time. So, like, our guests are starting to think it's cool. And it's totally fine.
And we like it, but we can't, with the FCC.
I got you. No more.
Well, I mean, you're a proper Texan. You're in good company here.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
All right, you are a Texan. Houston, Texas mm-hmm. high school football.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas high school football.
Come on now.
I mean, what's your case for Houston? Because I'm always going to hold it down for DFW.
I have no case right now. I mean, you know, North Shore let me down last year. But, you know, they're always in the running. But I think that's the one team, you know, and they have another team in that division. What is it? What's the
Katie was always good.
Creek. Yeah, Katie was always good.
Shadow Creek.
Shadow Creek was good. But, yeah, you know, Dallas has been doing y'all thing. Dallas has been doing their thing in football.
Been holding
football.
It down, man.
I mean, they've been holding down. Duncanville this year was what? North Crawley mm-hmm. Won it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Dallas has definitely got the one up on Houston this year in state championships.
Michael, would you have liked to play in an era where NIL football and then the transfer portal and stuff like that?
I don't think it would have made me.
I mean, I didn't want you ever to leave LSU because I enjoyed watching you play every week.
Thank you.
But I would have hated to see you leave. But would you like to have played that?
No, not at all. A transfer portal, I don't know, it just builds a quitting mindset, you know? I was willing to sit there and say, I'm a be challenged,
sure.
You know? I had a couple of seniors and juniors in front of me. And I didn't say, oh, not one time, like, oh, I don't want to be here because, you know, I got to sit out. You know, it was like, I want to learn. I want to learn from them. You know, I want to learn how to play SEC ball, you know. So once I get into, you know, my position to start, I want to be able to be comfortable. So, yeah, I don't think I would have been able to grow up. I wish I would have had the money.
Sure.
But I don't think the money would have been good for me mentally.
Oh, no, we'd have found the money for you for sure. we're trying today to find money, but we'd have found money for you. Trust me.
Yes, sir.
Michael, being with the Rams and seeing that transition from Jeff Fisher to McVay, how much of an edge do the Rams have in coaching?
Man, he is on it when it comes to coaching. These last 2 years have been a testament to how great of a coach and, you know, that coaching staff has, because they have been like one of the youngest teams in the league the past 2 years, and they continue to make good runs towards the end of the season. They always start off kind of rocky, trying to find their identity, and then towards the middle and the back end of the season, they put runs together, and it's all based off of situational football, making the right choices, making the right throws. You know, they have a great quarterback in Matthew Stafford. You know, they're coached very, very well. I know from experience that they are coached on every situation possible that can come up, you know, and he's going to stress his team more in practice than you do in a game. So when the game comes up, you can handle it. So, man, he's a tremendous coach. I mean, you know, I tip my hat to him, because a lot of things that he did to change our, you know, our culture, he did it in an organic way. So I love him as a coach.
Why do you think the rest of the league isn't just copying what he does?
It's hard to do. And you got to have the right situation. You have to come in with a quarterback that has stability, you know, the GM, everybody's stable, and everybody just comes together under one conclusion that, you know, and his theme was "We Not Me." And I, you know, and I used to make fun of everybody, you know, in the building. It's like, "Hey, we not me now." You know? Hey, we not me. But, you know, when you can get a group of guys who are tired of losing to say, "Hey, we not me," and you back them up, say, "Hey, I have the formula to get this thing running. If you believe in what I'm preaching, we'll get it going." Then we run off like our first five games, you know, we win, and we're like, okay, it's starting to be a trend, and we're in games late in the season. So we bought in really early after he stood on his word with having a good quarterback, having a good offense. We're going to score points, and the defense was ready.
Does the coach's age matter to you?
Not really.
I mean,
not
in this day and age, the players are just – give me a guy that I can believe in like you guys
did. If you give me a guy that I can believe in, and somebody that's not going to come in, you know, real arrogant,
sure,
you know, it's my way or the highway.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have a guy that comes in and can compromise with the players. Not be lenient, but compromise. Like, right, hey, we, you know, you don't want to work hard. And I don't want to work you hard. I don't want to beat your body up. But at the same time, we need to get some work done.
Right.
We're all getting paid. You know, we need to have production. So when you have a coach that can marry both of those together, you have, you know, the perfect, you know, coach.
Speaking of great coaches, we got two big time defensive coordinators in the Super Bowl, Steve Spagnuolo, Dick Fangio. If you could play for one of them, who would it be?
Probably Steve, man. You know, just the crazy blitzes, you know, that he has. And I think I just missed him right when I got to St. Louis. He was the head coach. He got fired.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just miss him, and just to know, like, you know, seeing Chris Jones in that defense and him going crazy, and, you know, they're blitzing all these other guys. I would have loved to just, you know, be under his defense and see him dial some things up.
Absolutely.
Outstanding, Michael. Best of luck to you with your podcast and your clothing brand. Anything else that we got to know about before you go?
Let me see. Podcast, I have my lounge in Houston. Quad Houston is the tag on Instagram. I'm heavy on Instagram. So, yeah, man, I appreciate y'all guys having me on.
Salute. Thank you. Michael Brockers live on Radio Row here in the G-Bag Nation. We're going to talk with another Super Bowl participant and a hero of the Patriots about 10 years ago. Malcolm Butler joins us next here on The Fan.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan, live on Radio Row. And we're about to be joined by another special guest, another Super Bowl hero. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online, frankelfirm.com. Yes, the author of one of the biggest plays in Super Bowl history, decade ago, stepped in and intercepted Russell Wilson, secured another Super Bowl for the Patriots. One of the most iconic moments in football history. Out of Vicksburg, Mississippi, Malcolm Butler joining us now here on The Fan. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Man, it's great to have you. When they lined up, did you know it was showtime, or at what point did you know I got a break on this ball?
Hey, look, I know it's showtime, no matter what. But, like, it's second down, right, and goal. Like, I'm running the ball. If I'm playing Madden, I'm running the ball.
Yeah.
Or if it's real life, I'm running the ball. But, like, as a cornerback, I'm not making that tackle.
Yeah.
I'm not a linebacker. I'm not a safety. But if they throw a crack, if they throw a toss, set the edge, give my teammates an opportunity to make that tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, I said, just play the pass. Just play the pass. And sometimes you just got to believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Pete Carroll did a great job by throwing the ball.
Thank you, Pete.
Yeah, I don't know many people that would have wanted to tackle Marshawn Lynch. It's unbelievable. But a big part of the lore of that story is how you guys got ready for it in practice, and it really never came off. What's your perspective on that?
They say that, well, it's this guy that worked for Bill Belichick. I think his name Ernie Adams.
Yeah.
He's so damn weird. He wouldn't speak to nobody. I thought he was a janitor at first. So at practice, I went around it,
right,
instead of over top,
mm-hmm. right.
I remember one day the wide receiver did an end around. Yeah. I went around too.
Yeah.
So like being a student of the game and learning from your mistakes and being prepared, like you just gotta be prepared. Be prepared, and you gotta be fresh, and you gotta pull up and show up, and pull up fresh like that chicken. From
Church's chicken.
Honey butter biscuit.
Delivering
Honey butter.
Honey butter biscuit.
Yes, indeed.
So what was the turning point in your career that allowed you to go from where you were, as an amateur and through college to, being this guy ready to make this moment on the biggest stage?
Well, I'll tell you this. Bill Belichick is a great recruiter. Mm-hmm. He's a great recruiter. He going to go get those guys that – don't nobody want, overlooked, and he will keep you right there each and every day and make you grind each and every day until you are ready. Who puts a rookie in a game when it's on the line, when it's about to go down?
Right.
Yeah. So therefore, you earn your trust throughout the progress of anything. You got to get your trust. It got to be earned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to be ready, especially working for him.
So the turning point was Belichick getting you, and knowing
like,
you're
especially
great.
Especially the Super Bowl and all that. Yeah. But, like, I earned my respect. I didn't slap Julian Edelman in the head. I didn't threw Amendola to the ground. I didn't dunked on Rob Gronkowski. And he got mad. He said, fuck it.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah. So, like, I've been getting after those guys, and I think I earned my respect, and that's how I made the team.
Yeah.
Malcolm. That's how I made the team.
If I go back to the play, you're on the sidelines, right?
Yep.
And, okay, Matt Patricia, they see how the personnel is coming in for Seattle. So you had to be ready. I mean, usually sometimes sideline chaos and all that stuff. You knew that there was a possibility that you were going to have to go in at that time. I mean, because the sideline turn, Matt made the call and sent you in on that, right? So you had to be right there ready to go.
No, I'm going to tell you what made me ready to go. Well, you're right.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you what made me ready to go. When I jumped up and tipped the ball,
yeah,
and the guy still caught it, and then they took me out, I said, damn, it's my fault.
Yeah.
But we also put in goal line three corners.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not getting up. Like, and you just got to be ready. Right? But I told myself, if I get back in this game, I'm going to make somebody fly like that chicken from – I'm going to make somebody fly like a chicken. Straight from church.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, but to listen to the whole description of it all was amazing. Mm-hmm. To listen to how they described that you guys got ready for that situation, but how you had to be ready for it, too. That, you know, that you went, you know, with matching them and, hey, I don't think they're going to call a timeout. And it looked like, you know, they had confusion over there. You guys, the Patriots, were always prepared for those things.
Look, I'm not Bill Belichick. I was just one of his workers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was just playing cornerback, and I was just doing my job.
Like, you're doing your job.
That's how I stayed on the team, doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I can't say it no more. Like,
yeah, sure.
If it's a run,
yeah,
I can't stop that.
Yeah. Right, right.
If it's a pass,
yeah,
I'm on your
ass. So, having played for Bill, how do you think this works for him in North Carolina? Do you think he can play, be a good college coach?
If Bill Belichick can come and find a Malcolm Butler that went to a Division II school, only played 1 year of high school football, went to junior college, and Bill Belichick is a guy that he's not into media. Mm. I know the NIL deal and stuff and all that, but look, you went and found Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You went and found Julian Edelman,
right,
Danny Amendola, Matthew Slater. Like, it's so many players you can name. You think those kids not – they going to want to play for him.
Right.
It might not be easy.
Right.
But they going to go and play for him. Yeah. I tell you that.
It's Malcolm Butler here, brought to you by Church's Chicken. Do you think NFL teams made a mistake by not hiring Belichick with this opportunity?
I don't know, man. Like,
there's a downside to it?
He can have a he can do whatever he wants. Like, what else he got to prove in the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see this college stuff. I want to see what he going to do.
Yeah.
I want to see.
Now, what happened with Edelman here? And I would remind you here, as we're talking with Malcolm Butler, this is traditional radio. We're not podcasting or on the Pat McAfee show, so we cannot cuss. Although we will dump it if you do.
Oh,
okay?
My bad.
We're good. We're good. But what made you slap Edelman?
He's just an a-hole, man. He's just an a-hole, man. Then, like, we was doing one-on-ones, and I quick jammed, pow, and he couldn't get out the ball. And then the wide receivers coach told him, get out the way. He said, no, I'm going again. And he went again, and he didn't catch the ball. And he slapped me, and I slapped him back.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a competitor, too.
Yeah.
And Julian is a guy, you can take him anywhere in the world with you. Yeah. Anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world.
Yep. So do you guys become friends after that, or?
Let me tell you, he told me, like, during the Super Bowl,
yeah,
before I caught the pass,
yeah,
I asked him, could I wear his red gloves? He said, no, you effing rookie. And then after I caught the pass, and we were going to Disneyland and all that, and we got on the plane, on the jet going to Disneyland, he said, see? If you would have wore those red gloves, you wouldn't caught that pass.
It all comes back to the gloves.
Yeah, man, hey, that's my guy. Yeah.
Is there Malcolm Butler here with us? Do you have any regrets of, like, what happened to lead up to not playing in Super Bowl 52? Like, what's your perspective on that?
Oh, man. Y'all got University of North Carolina number?
Well, we could probably find it.
Yeah, we got some connections with UNC.
I'm going to call him right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pull my phone now. No, it was just a coaching decision.
Yeah.
It was just a coaching
decision.
Was
that the worst coaching decision he's probably made?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if Nick Foles can beat Tom Brady.
Mm.
I'll just say that.
Competition seems like everything that you've talked about in New England, and nobody seems more competitive than Tom Brady. Like, some of the stories I've heard about him are insane. Did you ever have a Brady moment where maybe you picked him off in practice and he got you back in some way?
So I remember picking him off one time after the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I picked him off, and I said, let's go! And then LeGarrette Blount told me, he said, Malcolm Butler thinks he's that because he caught one effing pass. I said, one pass? Oh, he's talking about the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow. Well, Malcolm, thank you so much. Brought to you by Church's Texas Chicken. Anything else to tell us about this before we let you go?
Hey, it's delicious.
Yeah.
If you don't want to cook, get the party pack.
Okay.
Get the party pack. Hey, it's great.
Yeah.
And we also having a block party.
Okay.
1600 South Clayton Street.
Okay.
Hey, kids eat for free. You might get a signed autograph from me.
There you go.
Or, like, just pull up.
There
like
you go.
Chicken from Church, and
that's
it's
right.
always fresh.
Thank you so much. Love it. Super Bowl legend Malcolm Butler here with you on your home of the Cowboys, 105 through the Fan. Thank you so much. Enjoy your week in New Orleans.
Thank you.
Cheers
Thank you
to you, sir. All righty. Okay. We are nearing the halfway point on the show, going all the way till 7 o'clock tonight. Continue to track the Kevin Durant story. NBA trade deadline tomorrow. Krusty's Corner with Broadus coming up next, buddy. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, let's talk about some possibilities of some Cowboy free agent where they need to be. We'll talk about that next.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks again to Malcolm Butler, who joined us. Michael Brockers joined us, top of the hour. A couple of great football conversations as we're live on Radio Row. It's time now for Krusty's Corner. Here's the king, Brian Broadus.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. It's funny, when you talk to a guy that made such a huge play in a Super Bowl game like that, it's just kind of how matter-of-fact it seemed to him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it just, like, I mean, you've heard the stories, right? Like how the sideline and mm-hmm. and then Ernie Adams, and they had the film, they had the, you know, they kept showing the, and he's right on practice. He kept jumping the route the other way, and then
yeah,
what made him just
unbelievable?
Go? It's like you're like failing and failing and failing and failing, and then finally you just let that exact thing comes up, and you
hit
play
it
the right way.
Yeah, you know, I think it's an unbelievable story of just how things can line up for you, because he played just the 1 year of high school football.
Right.
Could you imagine if you don't go out for football that year?
Right.
None of this ever happens.
No, he's talking about being a baseball player.
Yeah.
He's like, man, I should have been a baseball player and all. And you just, you know, and I'm glad you asked him the question about not dressing for that game or playing in that game. I mean, that was.
Yeah, you can't doubt Belichick's methods, but, right. man, that's one I would love to have back if
that,
I was him.
That seems like a very rough
way. Alshon Jeffrey had a great game.
Sure.
I think Eric Rowe was the backup that they played in place of him, and he got torched.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just embarrassing.
Man, that's one of those things, if you're probably sitting on the deck there at the lake house going, oh, why did I do that?
I'd like to have that one back.
Yeah, I'd like to have that one back for sure. But, yeah, it's always – I mean, just to hear him talk about the plays is cool. I mean, because you're sitting there watching it and you wonder what all goes into it. Like, he wasn't on the field. Like, they had to send him on the field at that time
yep.
to make that play, which was cool. All right, our buddies at The Athletic, they put together an article, and I want to go through this because they title it Cowboys Unrestricted Free Agent Tiers, Levels, Tiers. Who do they need to bring back the most? And I don't want to focus on their tier, and this is from our buddy Saad Youssef from the Athletic, and he does fine work with them. I don't want to focus on Tier 1 but I'll ask you guys' opinion about Tier 1 just to tell me. He's got Oso Digizua. He's got Jordan Lewis as the guys that he wants to bring back, the two guys that he possibly wants to bring back. If you could only bring back one of those between Oso Digizua and Jordan Lewis, which one would you bring back there, Chief?
I think probably Jordan Lewis. It's a little bit – it probably wouldn't be as financially
– taxing?
Yes. And finding a nickel corner is so paramount. I think you can find other guys to replace Osa.
Yeah.
Finding a guy to replace Jordan Lewis at the nickel spot is bad. And I know they're going to need both. They're going to be giant holes on this defense if both of those guys are not there. But I like Jordan Lewis and just the dog, the leadership factor. I think Osa is going to break the bank. You're going to pay great money for a good player with Osa.
Yes, I think the salary cap thing is big here, especially where the team is and how they want to approach it. Mm-hmm. And then you include Diggs' injury and the uncertainty there. I mean, right. You could be looking at Deron Bland and two unknowns again out
Carson
there.
Carson out there again. Yeah, you know, he didn't have exactly
that's rough,
a great rookie year.
I think I'm going to go in the trenches, man. You know, we've seen this team struggle to find a defensive tackle that can penetrate. They got one.
Sure.
You know.
How about you there, Wooly?
They can find corners better than they can find defensive tackles. At least that's what they've shown. They can't. Yep. They don't draft D-tackle well. Osa's probably one of the few that's hit. I do think financially, like, if I'm not worried about the payment here, I'm going Osa. But you do have to factor that in. I think you're looking at maybe a 1 or 2 year deal with Jordan Lewis.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested in probably bringing back Jordan Lewis more so. But I don't know, man, because they don't have anything in defensive tackle. Osa's probably the guy that they have to bring back. I don't know what they're going to do with that position without him.
Yeah, they call Tier 1 the priority free agents. Tier 2 are the Cowboys should actively pursue but extend at the right terms. Tier 3, it's nice if things work out, but no sweat if they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Tier 4, the Cowboys can thank them for their services and move on. So those two, Lewis and Osa, would be the priority free agents. Now, I want to get into Tier 2 a little bit because I wonder if there's somebody in Tier 2 that you would put into Tier 1 over maybe with Osa or maybe over or is it more of a priority than
Lewis?
Jordan Lewis.
Hmm.
Okay? So Tier 2 guys, if Zach Martin retires, then Tank Lawrence would take over sole possession of being the longest tenured Cowboy. Martin and Lewis arrived together in 2014. He's got DeMarcus Lawrence in Tier 2. Do you see DeMarcus Lawrence as a priority here?
Yeah, I think I would move him into Tier 1 along with Lewis, and Osa. I think he's getting up there in age, but he's a real quality defensive lineman. The last we saw him, he can still wreak havoc in the backfield.
Sure.
Maybe he doesn't get home enough.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to ask me today, lining up, like, who's a better football player, I think out of those three, I think Tank's still the best one.
Wooly or Chief?
I mean, off the injury, it's certainly – I mean, it's another – I mean, it was the foot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely not an ideal thing to be coming off of at that age. I would like to have him back, but for me...
But not a Tier 1 guy.
It wouldn't be a Tier 1 must.
Okay.
Some of the stuff that I heard about Tank off the field, I think this needs to be a parting of the ways. I don't think he gets along with some people on the defensive side of the football. And the reasons as to why maybe he didn't come back and play... I think that's somebody that you need to part ways with and move on. Let's start fresh.
I mean, it was last year right here on Radio Row. Of course, we were in Las Vegas that, you know, he did the SportsCenter interview talking about effort and, you know, guys were kind of firing at him. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's some tension there behind the scenes. But, you know, I think quality defensive linemen. I like Sam Williams. I like Marshawn Nealon, but they don't have anybody accomplished.
How about Eric Kendricks?
I think you got to bring Eric Kendricks back. Now, Zim's retiring, we think.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know about his relationship with Flus, but I think they've got to do something in free agency at linebacker because that, to me, is the one area – like, you're probably not going to draft the linebacker high because you're going to address other positions.
I just don't think they're good linebackers in the draft,
Zach. The depth is not great. Like, UCLA's got a couple of cats like Teddy Buchanan that I saw at the Shrine Bowl. Could be a day three dude that might be okay. But, like, do I feel great about him starting for you right away?
No.
So you've got to get – if it's not Eric Kendricks, it needs to be another linebacker that you're signing.
Yeah, and that's where I want to go. I think Kendricks started looking slow-footed last year like Stephon Gilmore did in 2023, you know, and – as good as he was to us on the show, I think he might have gotten the last bit of juice out of that berry.
So he's good at Tier 2, maybe even a Tier 3 guy for you.
Yeah, I'm probably Tier 4.
Okay, Tier 4.
Thank you.
Thank you, but move on. Chief, you got any thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, he would certainly be cheap enough. I would effort to bring him back, but I do think this is a pretty good class of free agent linebackers. I know the draft class.
That's where I think you got to go.
I might need two.
I think there are. I mean, there's definitely better guys out there
that
I think can still be decent in terms of like bang for buck. So I would probably look elsewhere.
Rico Dowdle, a Tier 2 guy, or could he be a Tier 1 guy for you guys?
Yeah, for me personally, he wouldn't be a tier one.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a historical draft class when it comes to running backs, and I think you can find somebody cheaper than him that
the 1.2 Rico Dowdle is better than the $6 million Rico Dowdle.
Yeah,
right?
The 1.2 Rico Dowdle is some serious value, but after a free agent deal, I don't think that value's there, and that's another guy with an injury history. I'm always looking to get younger and cheaper if I can.
How about you there, Wooly?
I'm all about drafting a running back in this draft, and I'd take one of the first two rounds, and hopefully you're able to get one of those four workhorses that we've discussed, and I'm going to ride that way. I think I'm moving on from Rico, unless the price is right and he wants to come back, but I think he can go get paid somewhere else.
I'm conflicted on this, Brian. In some ways, I want to consider him a tier one type of player,
mm-hmm.
but the approach I would end up taking, especially if you're looking at $5 or $6 million in multiple years, is, okay, we're going into the draft without a running back.
Right.
Right? This sucks. But there's going to be veterans available in the summer,
mm-hmm.
and we're probably not contending next year. So if we do miss in the draft on a running back, we can take one in 2026 and start the clock then.
Chauncey Golston, he's a tier two guy here. You feel like that maybe this is a some people say this might be a comparison to what Dorrance Armstrong was last year. Is that,
good, huh?
Is that a situation where you think that tier two guy now should be a tier one guy, or do you have other defensive guys in mind? You have your defensive tackle, of course, you guys have in mind with Osa, but how about Chauncey Golston here?
I think Golston I would love to bring back. I think he's
tier two's good for him.
I think tier two's okay. Yeah, I'd put him in tier two because it's like if you don't get him, that stinks. Because maybe he does get over. Like, I think Dorrance Armstrong made more money than what I probably would have liked to pay him, what
sure.
the Cowboys clearly would have. If that ends up being the case, then Chauncey, go to Washington or wherever that is, get your bag, man. But I'd love to bring Chauncey Golston back. Again, you don't have a ton of depth along the edge right now. So if I'm saying no thank you to Tank, I'd rather bring the younger, better rising option in Chauncey Golston, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to look at this and you know, tell you, I think defensive line depth is massively important, right? You look at what the Eagles are able to do, bringing waves and waves of guys in. You got to keep these guys fresh for the fourth quarter one way or another. I just feel like, and I don't mean to penny pinch the guy, you know, I want him to go get his bag wherever it is, but I think he's going to get overpaid. And with the cap situation this tight with the Cowboys, I can't give it for role players and rotational guys.
Yeah, he's the type of player that you would like to have back, but you draw a line in the sand on where you're, how far you're willing to go financially.
Okay, and Sod has, in Tier 4, he's got a couple of guys. He's actually got a few guys, but I want to highlight one particular guy. He's got Trey Lance in Tier 4.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said, Trey Lance, Dawson, you said earlier that it's the, hey, thank you very much, goodbye, we'll see you down the road, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Does Trey Lance have any interest? I mean, any interest in you guys at all of being re-signed as the backup quarterback here?
Yeah, I definitely would have interest in him as the backup for sure. But I mean, I wouldn't be trying to give him top of the market backup quarterback money. In no way would I be trying to do that. That would be a low ball offer. And if he takes it, great. If he doesn't, I'm not going to lose any sleep about it.
Yeah, I just don't think you can win, you know, and with Trey Lance very much. And, it, you know, Dak's injury prone. If you are good next year, let's say you're 10-2, right, and he gets hurt, Dak's got to miss a month. Are you out of the playoffs now? With Trey Lance, I think you might be, you know, by the time Dak gets back, you know. So I need Cooper Rush back for
They've got Cooper Rush tier two thing. But I thought I was interested to see if you guys are all interested then in maybe.
I know I heard whispers the Cowboys already offered Trey Lance before the season ended for an extension, and he declined. So maybe the money there is going to be too rich. Or he just thinks he's going to get more on the open market.
Well,
maybe he tests it out and comes back, and that's not really the price range that he was thinking he'd get.
Well, if that's the case, then and they made an offer and then he turned it down, I think you need to clearly move on from that,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're probably, well, now they probably lowballed him, but they also paid him good money
as a
third quarterback. So you're feeling like, and you know, they gave him the opportunity, got him out of San Francisco, maybe helped him a little bit with his career and stuff. So All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate
that. There he is, Brian Broaddus in Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here on 105.3 The Fan. We're about to talk to one of the greatest leaders this country has ever known. Navy Captain Jervy Alota shares his story. It's inspiring and educational, and he'll join us next right here. It's the GBAC Nation on 105.3 The Fan.